These places are called Pewaukee, cave places. If these men were caught, they were severely punished. Now this man, Todaachi, the priest, was going from bad to worse. He was not doing the people any good, and he was always figuring what he could do to harm them. So he thought out how the water from different springs or rivers would taste, and he was always sending some man to these springs to get water for him to drink, but it was noticed that he always chose the men who had pretty wives. He tried to send them far away so that they would be gone 2 or 3 days, so it was not very long until they began to see what he was doing. The men were even sent to the little Colorado River to get water for him, or to mow and copy. Finally, when a man was sent out, he'd go out into the rocks and hide. And when the night came, he would come home. 41. Then, the priest, thinking the man was away, would come to visit his wife, but instead the man would be there when he came. Many men were punished for this. All this time the priest, who had great power, wanted all the young girls to be brought to him when they were about 13 or 14 years old. They had to live with the priest. He told the people they would become better women if they lived with him for about 3 years. Now one of these girls told what the Todaachi was doing, and a brother of the girl heard of this, and he asked his sister about it, and he was very angry. This brother went to the mission and wanted to kill the priest that very day, but the priest scared him and he did nothing. So the Shungpovi people sent this boy, who was a good runner, to a Watavai to see if they were doing the same thing over there, which they were. So that was how they got all the evidence against the priest. Then the chief at a Watavai sent word by this boy that all the priests would be killed on the fourth day after the full moon. They had no calendar, and that was the best way they had of setting the date, in order to make sure that everyone would rise up and do this thing. On the fourth day the boy was given a cotton string with knots in it, and each day he was to untie one of these knots until they were all out. And that would be the day for the attack. Things were getting worse and worse, so the chief of Shungpovi went over to Mishongnovi, and the two chiefs discussed their troubles. "He is not the savior, and it is your duty to kill him," said the chief of Shungpovi. The chief of Mishongnovi replied, "If I end his life, my own life is ended." Now the priest would not let the people manufacture prayer offerings, so they had to make them among the rocks in the cliffs out of sight. So again one day the chief of Shungpovi went to Mishongnovi with tobacco and materials to make prayer offerings. He was joined by the chief of Mishongnovi, and the two went a mile north to a cave. For 4 days they lived there heartbroken in the cave, making payos. Then the chief of Mishongnovi took the prayer offerings and climbed to the top of the corn rock and deposited them in the shrine, for according to the ancient agreement with the Mishongnovi people, it was their duty to do away with the enemy. He then, with some of his best men, went to Shungpovi, but he carried no weapons. He placed his men at every door of the priest's house. Then he knocked on the door and walked in. 42. He asked the priest to come out, but the priest was suspicious and would not come out. The chief asked the priest 4 times, and each time the priest refused. Finally, the priest said, "I think you are up to something." The chief said, "I have come to kill you."
"You can't kill me," cried the priest, "you have no power to kill me. If you do, I will come to life and wipe out your whole tribe." The chief returned, "If you have this power, then blow me out into the air. My gods have more power than you have. My gods have put a heart into me to enter your home. I have no weapons. You have your weapons handy, hanging on the wall. My gods have prevented you from getting your weapons." The old priest made a rush and grabbed his sword from the wall. The chief of Mishongnovi yelled, and the doors were broken open. The priest cut down the chief and fought right and left but was soon overpowered, and his sword taken from him. They tied his hands behind his back. Out of the big beams outside they made a tripod. They hung him on the beams, kindled a fire and burned him. Crow Clan. 43. Return of the Spaniards to Hopi Country. Shipalovi found it as a sanctuary. After all this had happened, the Hopi were sure that the Spaniards were going to come back and make an attack on them, and they figured that they would be wiped out. The chief of Shungpovi thought there should be someone saved who would keep a record of these happenings in the best way they could. Now just about that time the Sunforid clan was admitted into the village. They came from Homolovi. The chief sent one of his relations of the Bear clan and his family to Shipalovi. And with them he sent half of the Sunforid clan. He told them that this Shipalovi village would be recognized as an innocent town, and that whenever the Hopi were attacked by any of their enemies, whoever wished to live could go there. After all this, the chief just simply waited for the attack to come from the Spanish. For knowing that he was guilty, he would not hesitate to give himself up to the Spaniards. He waited quite a long while, about 20 years, but nobody knows just how long. Finally the Spanish came. When they did come, instead of going up to the village, they camped about 3/4 of a mile below the old Shungpovi town, and the whole village was in terror. The chief went down to the camp to ask them if they had come then to be friends, or to destroy. The captain of the army told him that they had only come for the guilty. Then the chief said that the whole village was guilty, because everybody that could had put a hand on the priest. Then the captain said that could not be, because there were a good many people in the village and he couldn't understand how everyone could have put a hand on the priest. Then the chief said, if he was guilty, all the people were guilty, for he was their chief and leader. The captain asked the chief to have all the men of the village descend down there, so the chief called his men to come. When all the men got there, the captain lined them up and then he asked the chief to pick out the men that were really guilty. Before the chief said a word, the men declared they were all guilty, but the captain would not believe them. During all this excitement there was one Hopi had the heart to come out with the truth. He stepped out and said he didn't like to see all the men get killed, for some of them were too young. 44. They might become good runners or warriors and have long lives to live. This man turned around to the chief and accused him of simply sacrificing his men because he didn't want to be put to death alone. He said that if he saved some of these men or convinced the Spaniards that these men were not all guilty, he himself would be willing to take the place of the chief and be the leader of the people. He was a man of the Strap clan, closely related to the Bear clan to which the chief belonged. This man was angry to think that the chief would sacrifice his men for nothing. Then after this man had said he would be the leader of the people, he asked the chief to step forward and be honest and point out the ones who were really guilty. But the chief still wasn't man enough to do it, and he was asked 4 times before he would pick out the guilty men. The men were those who held positions in different kinds of ceremonies with the Hopi. Things like the doing away with the priest are not discussed with the common people, only among the leaders. When these men were picked out, their hands were tied behind them and they were taken prisoners with the chief. The man of the Strap clan took his men back to the village, and the people coming out to meet them and seeing these men, declared him the chief. The next morning the men that were taken prisoners were shot at sunrise. Then the captain sent word up to the village that if they wished to bury the dead they could come and do it, but the people would not go down for fear they might get killed, so they waited until the Spaniards went away. The new chief took everything in his hands and went down with some of his men and buried the dead. Each man was buried with his possessions, turquoise and shell beads. In those days the father's relatives would give presents of pottery to be buried with the dead. So they were buried with all those things. Now the people of Shungpovi had lived in the same village until the Spanish came back. Then the Strap clan leader led the people to the top of the mesa and founded the new Shungpovi, for he was afraid if they stayed down below, there would be more Spanish attacks. From then on the Strap clan people were leaders in Shungpovi. During the next few years things were very prosperous, but it happened that they failed. Again another drought came. At this time the people held a council and made an agreement that every clan be given a chance to take their turn at leadership. 45. So from then on, each clan took its turn and it finally came back to the Bear clan. Each clan held leadership for 4 years, and when their turn was up they refused to give it up for they claimed it was theirs originally. Since they refused to give up their leadership they have remained the royal family ever since.